Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. This week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking with Gene McGinnis from the Maine Center for Creativity and Kelly Szymanski from WEX, and we're going to be talking about creativity and innovation in the workplace. Gene and Kelly, thank you for being on the show.
Hello, thank you.
Yes, good. We're going to be talking about a great topic today. I think one that maybe people may not have heard of before, because this is a new program, correct?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And it's called, really, From the Maine Center of Creativity. That's where this program is coming from. It's Developing Creative Intelligence, What's in It for Your Company.
That's right.
So let's give an overview. Let's start there. I don't know who wants to start.
Okay.
You, Gene, want to start? Kind of tell us where this came from, what's the concept behind it, and why it's important.
Great. I'd love to. Well, it really came out in 2012 when we did the Maine Creative Industries Award Gala, and we were meeting with a number of CEOs and vice presidents to look for their support for the Center for the Creative Industries Award. And some of the key issues they were concerned about in terms of economic growth for Maine had to do with creativity and innovation. And of course, when you start talking about creativity and innovation, you have to start thinking about how do we help people in companies stay creative and stay innovative and come up with the next best idea. So we began to understand that if we could develop a unique training program to help develop creative intelligence and build it into a person's ability to put it into the company's process, then we might be able to help them innovate and create.
So when you started this process, was it an idea that came from where? Where was the incubus for it?
Our board of directors, Professor Raphael DeLuzio, who's over at USM, and our president, Catherine Greenleaf, were really the leaders of this particular idea. Both of them have a lot of deep experience in not only developing creative intelligence in terms of training, but also leadership training. So with the combination of Professor DeLuzio with his background on the basic process of creative process and our wonderful leader, Catherine Greenleaf, knowing leadership, we knew we had a great combination to really bring home the learning that was going to happen around creative process, but bring it to the person's understanding in terms of how they had to lead that process.
Kelly, how did you get involved in this? How did you come about understanding about this process, about this new idea?
I was asked by a leader in our organization to be part of the pilot program, and so participated in that with other leaders from companies around Maine.
Had you heard of anything like this before?
We've done innovation training, and more innovation than creativity, but they're very closely linked, I believe. And what was different about this program was that it was focused on leadership, or on leaders and leading innovation and creativity. So first understanding the process, and then how to lead it in an organization, and that was unique.
So let's start at the basics. Let's start at the beginning, Gene. Take us through what exactly the points are to this program, what it's called, how it works. Let's work our way systematically through that. So how does someone start this program, and why would they want to?
Well, they would want to because they want their company to grow, or they want to take a look at their products and put them into a new market. I mean, essentially, creativity and innovation is all about developing a company so that it grows and that it brings new jobs. I mean, that's part of what we're doing at the Maine Center for Creativity is we're looking at how do we help support economic growth and cultural growth here in the state of Maine. We know that people are the ones who make all this happen, so they have to be encouraged and nurtured and trained. And so we went out to some major companies to ask them to be part of this pilot project. So these were the innovators themselves with WEX and Unum, L.L. Bean, and Mechanic Savings Bank all joining in to be part of that first class. So they knew that they were going to be teaching us as well and giving us feedback so that we could improve upon and make the next program even better. So from January through April, they agreed to be part of a program that we considered a blended program. We wanted to do in-person workshops, as well as online, which Unum gave us their Adobe Connect as the resource, which we thanked them for. And we had five faculty who were agreeing to put this program together, and two who were providing the executive coaching
as well.
And that's
faculty from University of Southern Maine, correct?
It was Rafael DeLuzio who put the program together in terms of organization of the structure. It was Catherine Greenleaf and Susan DeGrandpre who were the executive coaches, and Sue Hines and Meg Weston who helped us put all the other pieces together to really frame up the intellectual property of this creative product. Meg Weston also shared with us her wonderful location of the Maine Media Workshops, so we were able to bring this class to the Maine Media Workshop, which is located in Rockport, overnight. So we had a Sunday-Monday twice overnight program, which really brought people away from their workplace for a little while to give them the creative space that they need to really understand what is this creative process, and then what are all the emotions associated with creative process, and how do you then lead people through that process.
We're talking with Gene McGinnis from the Maine Center of Creativity and Kelly Szymanski from WECS. We're talking about this new process, creativity innovation process in the workplace. Kelly, when you've seen this process now begin, and you were in the first class, mm-hmm. And we're going to get back to more about the program, but I'd like to interject a little bit here. What did you see that was different about it? What did you see that made it something that you said, yes, this is something WEX should do, and it's something that I can gain from it as well?
Well, you know, one of the big ahas for me going through the program were all the myths around creativity. And I think especially in business, there are a lot of people in business who don't think that they're creative. They think artists are creative, but business people aren't. And that's not true. And so Rafael did a great job of helping us understand what creativity really is and how we all have aspects of creativity that we can bring to our work and to innovation, which is what's important, I think, in the growing workplace. And so that was a big aha for me. And the tools that we learned and the practices that we went through were very practical. They were very easy to bring back and start using immediately after each session and then just continuing to refine. I've used several of them, you know, just within the first week when I came back. So lots of opportunities for use. And so very, very helpful, very powerful.
And we'll get back to some examples a little later in the show, and I certainly want to talk about that because I think that's the takeaway, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a new process. People are asking themselves, how is this any different than any of the other hundreds of innovation things that are out there? I've had plenty of guests on here talking about innovation.
You know,
how is this different?
One thing that's different, I think, I've been through a lot of innovation training, and it's this kind of formulaic, do this, do this, do this, and then this will magically happen. And it doesn't quite work that way. And I think one of the things that Rafael does, which is great, is he really helps you understand the creative process and what's going on and what's required for true creativity. It's more than just a formulaic process, and he really brings that context into what we're learning, and I think that's important, and that's quite different from any program I've ever been through before.
Excellent. Gene, tell me the difference between creativity and innovation.
Mm-hmm. I like to point to material that we use from the Lincoln Center Institute. They're a group who, a couple of years ago, went around to all 50 states and had conversations, which they called imagination conversations. And they described that there were three things that we're often talking about when we're talking about innovation. One is imagination, another is creativity, and another is innovation. And they give a really, I think, succinct description of what these three things are and how they are related to each other. So, of course, we need imagination to perceive something that has not been perceived before. Creativity is about doing it, making it. Create is an act. It's about a doing. And innovation is about taking that doing, that perceived new thing, creating it, and then really putting it into systems or industries. I mean, if you're going to innovate, you're really bringing it through a systematic process. But you really need all three of them together to grow your company. So I think they give a really good reference to why we have to have these skills for our new century here. You know, you hear people talk about 21st century skills for our students. It's also for our workers in the workplace. We know many of us have imagination, but sometimes we think we're just going to apply it to maybe something fun that we do. But really, we apply it to our work every day as well. So bringing in the discipline of creativity and imagination into the discipline of business is really where the power and impact comes.
And that's where I'm going to ask you, Kelly, about that, because I mean, people are listening out there, and they may be saying to themselves, "That's pretty pie in the sky." Okay, that's that's kind of a little bit fluffy for me. And I'll get to the CFO, who's going to have the financial aspect. We'll talk about mm-hmm. that a little later. Mm-hmm. But it does sound a little fluffy. How do you engage an organization to who may understand innovation, but then you throw in creativity and you think about some other things and you start going, okay, wait a minute, what is this all about? How do you do that?
Well, I think that's a great point, because I think even when I attended the first session, you know, on my drive up and then getting there and starting to go through it, I thought, oh boy. Because you're coming from the work environment, your brain's going 90 miles an hour, you're using a different part of your brain probably, so you have to make that shift. And but each time we did that, it was well worth it. The way I've used it in the organization is to use it in little pieces, because people come in and they turn a lot of that off, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to get them to just turn it all on right there in the workplace. They're surrounded mm-hmm. by that reality. And so as I've tried to use some of the pieces within our organization, I've done them in little pieces here and there. And when they see the result, then they're much more willing and open to understanding more and doing more, and it's going to have an even greater impact. It does have an impact. It does help. It does get you to a solution faster in some mm-hmm. cases where you have blocks. We learned a lot about blocks and why we have blocks and how we get through and around them. And that was really, really helpful and very relevant for the workplace where you're trying to solve a problem or create something, a mm-hmm. product. Or
it requires a little bit of a change in mindset,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, it is a mindset change.
Absolutely.
Because conceptually, I think people could understand it. I think they have to be in the right mindset to make this actual shift.
Well, and you get stuck in a rut. Mm-hmm. You know, you get stuck mm-hmm. in the familiar. And mm-hmm. the great thing about this program is it took us physically out of the familiar, and then it took our brains out of the familiar so that we could learn and then come back and apply.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think was the number one takeaway that you took away from that first day or that first session?
The first session? The first session, I learned that I am creative.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that at the end Woo-hoo! Of the session.
For all those who cannot see them, they are giving the thumbs up here.
I did not define myself as someone who was creative. So that was a big learning for me. I learned how I am creative and in what ways I'm creative.
And I think that's a really important value that the Maine Center for Creativity holds, that we are all creative. It is part of being human to be creative. But sometimes we define it with different language that tells us, well, that person who paints is creative, or that person who performs is creative. But then when we start to look at what do we do to produce our business, we realize creating a business, creating a job is creative. It's about imagining something that wasn't there before, or filling a need that no one else knew how to fill. So when we start to relate the idea that business also requires imagination, then we know that we need to practice to build that muscle. Imagination, creativity, innovation, those are disciplines that if you keep practicing, you build the strength in that muscle.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're talking with Gene McGinnis from the Maine Center of Creativity and Kelly Szymanski from WEX. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we'll be right back on News Talk WLOB.
They say it's never too late to be what you might have been. So if you want to turn your passion into your profession, AARP can help you find new opportunities that take advantage of Work Reimagined, a program that leverages the power of LinkedIn. AARP also provides access to tools, resources, and information that can help you at every step. Just a few of the ways AARP helps turn your goals and dreams into real possibilities.
AARP, real possibilities.
Go to aarp.org/possibilities to find tools and guidance.
Real Possibilities is a trademark of AARP.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel.
If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
And we are back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And again today, we are speaking with Gene McGinnis from the Maine Center for Creativity and Kelly Szymanski from WEX. And we're talking about creativity and innovation in the workplace. A lot of listeners out there may have said to themselves during the first half, wow, is this something that I might be actually interested in? But it's a course. So I think what I'd like to do, Gene, is talk a little about what it is that is actually the course. I know there's segments, there's, you know, you go away. How does this all work? How does it all play together? Because it might be a big commitment for somebody.
Yes, and ultimately that's part of what we tried to consider as well, is how much commitment, how much time, how spread out should it be? And again, it was an experiment, so we're working to improve that as well. But we thought that there were a couple of things we needed to do. One, make sure it was a long enough period of time where there were some touches that could integrate into an everyday workplace. Because it's often true that you go off on a great training, go to Florida maybe, go to Hawaii, wherever you're going, and you get immersed into that training for a week, say, and then you come back and you have to apply everything. And usually in the first couple of weeks, you're very enthusiastic, you're applying everything, and then it starts to dissipate, and you get pulled back into the routines of what...
The thousands of emails suddenly change your mind, yes.
And the regulations and all the things that make business work. So we wanted to have a program that would integrate both pulling people away into a workshop and having online integration so that there would be information and knowledge shared online during the workday. So we picked, you know, noontime or 3 o'clock in the afternoon to bring the class together online through the Adobe Connect. And then we also thought it was very important for each of them to have this executive coaching, because as you learn as a group, you then also have to reflect individually. And with an executive coach, they were able to, after the workshop, have a couple of meetings, you know, with an executive coach that was personalized, then have a meeting online so that they were all back together again after they'd left the nice, you know, overnight at Maine Media Workshops. And then we repeated it again. So essentially the concept was we'll have 2 days together, then we'll have online and coaching happening, then we'll have 2 days together, have online and coaching happening, and then 2 days together, and then finish with some coaching. So that way people could bring into their everyday workplace what was working and what wasn't. They could have someone like the executive coach talk to them about, you know, I was just trying that, you know, because I thought it would really work, but it really didn't work. So can you talk to me about what was the block? How do I get through that? And I think Kelly did a great job of using all those tools as well to her advantage to bring back to the company. And that's what we were very interested in. We talked early on to the decision makers about we want results being brought to the company. And we don't want this to just die on the vine as a great training that everyone got excited about, but then we weren't able to apply it. We really wanted to stay on top of how have you applied it and what can we do to help continue to integrate this idea that a creative practice is what's important in your business practice as well.
You talk about three modules. Module one, the basics of creativity. Module two, experimenting with team innovation. And module three, becoming a leader of change. What's interesting, you also have on this about journaling, individual coaching, online sessions, and self-study, kind of what you talked about, the four areas. The journaling is interesting. What exactly does that mean?
The journaling was really, Raphael Deluzio really believes that it's extremely important to do a lot of self-reflection during a training process. So everyone got an interesting journal. We had a wonderful maker artist from Somalia who created these fabulous looking notebooks that had interesting imagery on the front of them. And it was really as a gift to each of the participants so that they would recognize that as they wrote about their experience in learning about the creative process, they could reflect themselves on what am I learning and what are the blocks. And so periodically when we got back together, Raphael was able to say, were you writing in that journal? What were your blocks? What were you learning? So the journal was really used as a way to bring a metaphor of let's pay attention to creating that space, because we all need creative space. And sometimes you can find it in a journal, 15 minutes, 10 minutes a day, where you can jot down and stay in touch with what's happening to my creative process here. When is it being expanded and when is it being contracted? And if you start just paying attention, you eventually start to move toward what am I doing to expand it? It's sort of like working out.
And the journaling, you know, just from a business standpoint, it's not contemplating your navel. That's not what we're doing here. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really was valuable. I didn't do it every day. Mm-hmm. I used the journal to take notes in the class about things that Raphael made me think of or other class members made me think of. And I would refer back to it in the time that we were between sessions. And then my coach, who was Kathy, had also encouraged me to use it at certain points around certain things that she and I were talking about, and it was helpful for that as well. So it really was a valuable tool that I continue to go back and look at when I'm trying to remember how to do something or, you know, something that he taught us. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking with Jean McGinnis from the Maine Center for Creativity and Kelly Szymanski from WEX, and we're talking about, again, creativity and innovation in the workplace. So Kelly, give us an example of something which is tangible, which if someone's listening on the radio, they're saying, so what did she really take away from it? We've talked a lot about theory, we've talked a lot about, you know, the process, but what can I take away? How can I implement it in my workplace? You know, what's the real benefit to me?
So there are many. The one that comes to mind that I actually think I want to talk about first, Jean, is the cards with the visual, with the mm-hmm. pictures on them, because that's the one that I've used over and over and over. So one of the things that Raphael taught us is that words can get in the way. When you're trying to solve a problem, when you're trying to create something, words can get in the way. And conceptually, I understood that, but it wasn't until we went through this exercise and this process that I realized how true that really is. And so I was trying to build something that was fairly complex and fairly significant. It was important. So that in itself created some blocks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there were all sorts of political ramifications and stakeholder needs and all sorts of things going on. And I just kept hitting a block and I kept getting stuck. And so I worked with a group. It was one of our group exercises after we learned the process where we would take all the key points, and I won't get into the details of the process, but we would take all the key points and we would create a picture for each of them and put that on a card instead of writing each of those points on a card. And then being on a card is important because then we start moving them around and suddenly solutions just pop out and evolve that you weren't able to get to. And this is all a business problem that I was dealing with. And they were crazy pictures, but a picture really does say 1,000, you know, represent 1,000 words. And you're not held down. It's not, those words aren't baggage anymore with all the political ramifications and all the stakeholder needs. They're simply the essence of the issue that you need to address. And suddenly, as you start moving them around, the solution is just right there in front of you. But even better, you can move the cards around and there's a different solution. And that might also meet the needs, but in a different way. And it's almost effortless the way it all comes together. Mm-hmm. It's kind of out of your control, but it's wonderful to be along for the ride and
right.
to see the solution come forward.
And I'll use a metaphor kind of example which I think will instantly click for you. If I said to you and used the word blue, everyone in this room would think of a different shade of blue and a different meaning for blue. But if I actually put blue onto a card, if I painted a picture that was actual, then we'd all be working from the same blue. So whether it was royal blue or light blue or sky blue, which all have different meanings and metaphor, probably, for all of us, we suddenly have come together more on that blue color more than ever. And we didn't even realize it when we used the word B-L-U-E. So imagery has great deep metaphor and connection and meaning for us. And the more we can sort of cut through that in creative problem solving, because most of the time in business, we're working together with people. We're trying to solve problems together. And, you know, we sometimes may find this in our families, too. You use a word, and it has this other meaning for someone else. You think you're talking about the same thing, but you're really not. And that happens so often with words and language, and often in business, we're using words and language and bullet points, and let's get to the facts, and let's get to the bottom line. But the truth is, all of those facts and bottom line have metaphoric meaning as well. And so the more that you can put a picture in front of people and start to really use an exercise that begins to frame all of those pictures together and essentially think about different departments. Each department has a different meaning of that blue word. You may think that each department is trying to solve the same problem. You've got three departments working on this problem. I'm sure you've heard that before.
Never.
So the idea is to really create an exercise that actually helps people work together on the problem in a closer way, in a way that really moves you towards solution and impact.
And you know, what's interesting to me in that example is that not only have we used the visuals to help break through the block, come up with a solution or more than one solution that could work, I've actually used some of those pictures in my business case, in when I'm selling the end product to the business. Mm-hmm. I would actually still use those pictures above the five words that explain what I'm trying to convey. But I didn't get rid of the picture because, to your point, even when I'm making the case to others in the organization, those words mean different things. But when they see the picture, it wraps them all up, and it conveys an image very quickly, very efficiently, and allows me to get buy-in faster. And so that was something that I learned out of the program as well. I would have just had bulleted lists before, and now I have a picture above each list.
And I think that's absolutely true. If I think about PowerPoint presentations today, even when I go out and do trainings, I rarely use words anymore. It's more pictures with a few words because it's much more impactful and you can actually visualize the idea or thought that's out there. You're absolutely correct. It certainly works to everyone's benefit to make that work that way. So, yeah, no, I can absolutely see where that would be a benefit for the organization as well as for individuals within the organization to better communicate. Do you find that communication is better between co-workers, departments, when you start visualizing?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and you know, like I said before, sometimes when I'll pull out the index cards and people are like, oh no, Kelly's pulling out the index cards. You know, we're going to start drawing pictures. Here we go again. But they humor me, you know, when I'm doing it with certain groups because they've seen it work. And it really allows us to get through the process much more quickly with a better outcome, and we're more aligned. And that's one tool, and I would use it in certain situations, and then I wouldn't use it in others. And there are other tools that we learned that I would use in other situations. So it doesn't apply to everything, but when it's applied correctly, it can be quite effective.
And we're talking with Gene McGinnis from the Maine Center for Creativity and Kelly Szymanski from WEX. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.
You might hear some advice from your friends on choosing a health plan.
Darling, you must choose the gold healthcare plan.
Not the silver plan. Too much trouble. Do they have a stainless steel plan?
I like bronze, like my tan.
Are sunburns covered? Instead, take advice from a licensed agent from Northern Insurance Group.
Meet face-to-face with a local healthcare exchange professional. Call Northern Insurance Group today. We have the resources to make sure you make the right choice.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're having a great discussion about a new concept, something that's new and exciting, right?
Very exciting. Of course, it's very exciting.
Yeah. Gene's over here going, well, yeah, it's exciting. And Kelly's like, why would he have us on if it's boring, Dave? You know, I don't even have a response for that, really. I don't know what to do. No, but this is great. We're talking about innovation and creativity in the workplace. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you guys have done a great job so far in at least defining and making sure that we understand kind of what it is and why it's important. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the key part. Mm-hmm. So I'm a CFO. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm an owner of a small business. I don't know if you noticed, but the economy is not fantastic. It's okay. It's all right. It's getting better. I would argue it's improving, but there are some that would say that it's, you know, across the board, it's getting better. Mm-hmm. I may have a few extra dollars in my budget. I might. Mm-hmm. And somebody comes to me with this idea. Mm-hmm. And so first of all, tell me about cost. Tell me about what they get for that information. Mm-hmm. Tell me the length of time it will take. We know it's a couple of days, and you mentioned that. But kind of lay it all out there. Yeah. Talk about it. And then Kelly will come to you about why. Mm-hmm. Why would WEX invest in individuals to actually go? Because that's a great case study as to why that happened. Mm-hmm. So Gene, start.
Right. So we did, as you know, this is a beginning pilot program, so we had to do a bit of our work in the marketplace to see what are people paying for training programs. And, of course, as you know, they're all over the board, from $75 to $10,000. And we are doing 8 equivalent days of training in our program. And in addition, we're doing executive coaching. So after configuring a number of considerations in terms of cost, we decided that a $3,750 price was reasonable for investment in the employee in order to get them really engaged. I know there are studies out there that point to an engaged employee is 9 times more productive.
Correct.
So that's an important fact. And so we looked at that as, you know, this could be a really good return on investment if we can get these folks really engaged and really put the work to staying with the employees so that they are continuing to give back that investment to the company over time, and not just in a short period of time, but over a longer period of time.
So my understanding is for that $3,750, it's equivalent to 8 days of training over 5 months. Mm-hmm. It includes all course materials, 4 hours of one-on-one coaching, plus an equivalent 2 days of online learning, self-study, and some extracurricular activities, dinners, and 2 overnights. That's right. All included, correct? Mm-hmm. Want to make sure somebody understands.
That's right. The overnights, the dinners, and the entertainment.
And the entertainment. Well, maybe in the last segment we'll get into that. But no, the reality is...
Well, breakfast and lunch, too. Right? Yeah. Just to be clear.
All your meals.
That's a good thing.
We ate very well at the main media thing.
No, that's great. And so that's quite a bit, really, when you think about it, for this program. So, Kelly, tell us, why would WEX send somebody? What was the impetus to say, hey, we can do this? Why was the CFO on board? What was the financial implication? You know, $3,750 for a billion-dollar organization? Yeah, I get it. But that's still money.
Mm. Sure. Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, we wanted to be part of the pilot and to participate and support the program. But there certainly were benefits to us as well. You know, one of the biggest, there are many benefits, but one of the biggest benefits, I think, to WEX, not just to WEX, to L.L. Bean, to WEX, to everybody who was there, the last 2 days, 2 of my favorite days, really, we were working through business issues and we were helping each other. And so each of us had issues that we were struggling with that we are responsible for addressing in our business. And we were using other business leaders, who we now also have relationships with and can continue to use outside of the program, to think it through. Think it through different minds, different processes. And I know there were a lot of ahas that came out of those last 2 days, a lot of pretty pleased business leaders who felt like they were going back to their businesses with some solutions, or at least moving things along closer to a solution. And some of the issues that we were addressing, I know L.L. Bean, we were dealing with one of their issues, they've been dealing with this for quite some time. It felt very rewarding to us to help, and it felt very rewarding to see them leaving with, be much closer to a solution around that specific business issue. So it's not just about, foo-foo, creativity, painting pictures. That's not what this is about. It's about kind of breakthrough thinking and knowing your blocks, knowing the process, and getting through that to get to a solution.
So you feel there's a direct return on investment for an individual to go into this program and really have some takeaways that can make a complete impact right away at an organization.
Absolutely. I mean, as with any program, I'm sure there's a way you could go and sit there like a bump on a log and walk out with very little. But there's a lot. There are many, many opportunities to apply this, and lots of opportunities to work together with the other leaders in the group.
And I would say that we were very cognizant of wanting to create this community of people connected to each other, knowing how to go through these processes and sort of exercise that muscle. and bring strength to each other as well. I mean, a lot of what we do as the Maine Center for Creativity is to build collaborations and to build creative communities so that people recognize how we bring this creativity to each other and how we inspire each other with new perceptions and new ways of looking at the world. We had a whole example of taking one item and looking at it 12 different ways. And when you think about something, take a button and look at it 12 different ways, it really moves you to a whole, I know, you probably can't even imagine.
I'm just thinking
ways
myself a
moment.
Button 12 different ways. I will say that may even tax my creativity, but that's okay.
But if you take a business problem and look at it 12 different ways and have a room full of people who obviously actually have, you know, thousands of ways that they can actually bring to you, you gain a lot by sharing in that creative community. And as Kelly said, there's a whole connection to each other that we really wanted to bring as well.
I met some great, really talented leaders in Maine that I'm not sure I would have met otherwise. And I could pick up the phone tomorrow and call them and say, hey, I'm stuck. Just let me think out loud for a minute. And they totally would, because we built a relationship while we were there and we've all been through the same experience.
Yeah, I mean, that's the backside story of this, right? So anytime you can get creative business leaders together,
right,
to do something together and build relationships. I think we'd all know that networking and relationship is the key to anything, anything, whether it be your career or be business solutions, whatever it is critical to That's make that right. happen, because you can't think of all the answers yourself.
No. Mm-hmm.
It's just not possible.
Well, and I don't think you don't realize that when you spend time within an organization that you're starting to look at things the way that organization looks at them. And until you get outside of that organization and you talk to people in other organizations to say, why would you ever define it that way?
Mm-hmm.
We're thinking of a specific example that I'm not going to talk about on the phone. I mean, here. But everyone in the room, when this person said this out loud, everyone in the room went, "What? Mm-hmm. Like, why would you ever look at it that way?" But in that organization, it's the way they've looked at it for years, and so it took being together to bring that different perspective.
And that happens with everyone. You know, every company has that tendency where you get into that doing things the same way, not quite knowing how to look differently. And then when you bring people together and collaborate around creativity, and that's what we're trying to do as the center, is to really make it an active and conscious decision. Many people do it sort of automatically. You know, they just do it. That's what they do. But this is about really taking it out to the community and saying, let's be really thoughtful and systematic about doing this, because you know that we're going to help each other grow, innovate, and that means more jobs in all of the companies as well.
No, I think it's a very systematic approach.
Yes.
To be honest with you, it's a very, after listening now, it's a very systematic approach. It allows for collaboration in a way that gets you thinking differently. And I think that's probably one of the bigger benefits, is that you're thinking differently. You can go to leadership training. You can go to leadership development. But I'm not sure they're going to be as much on the creativity side, because that's not where most of the programs are. I'm not saying they're better or worse. I'm just making the reality of where it is. They're all different.
And you know, it's important. It is systematic, but it's not formulaic. And you had asked earlier, you know, what was different about this program? That's what was different for me. It was systematic. We came out with a lot, but it was not formulaic.
Was there one or two things that you could say to yourself, this was my personal one takeaway?
Besides recognizing that I'm actually creative.
Yes.
That's a big one.
That's
which
huge.
Was huge. I like that.
The big takeaway for me was the index cards with the pictures, that using the visual imagery to help solve problems, break through blocks, and get to solutions, and convey information. That's the one that I've used over and over. There were many, but that's the one that I've used over and
over. And just an observation.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and we will be right back on News Talk WLOB.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com. And today we're talking with Gene McGinnis from the Maine Center for Creativity and Kelly Szymanski from WEX, and we're talking about creativity and innovation in the workplace. Thank you both for being here today. This has been very interesting, and certainly for anybody listening on the radio today, this is different. Mm-hmm. This is different than some of the stuff we've talked about in the past. And matter of fact, we've talked about innovation quite a bit in the last few months, actually. We've had a number of people talk about innovation, but this is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the questions I have for you, Gene, is you've now watched this beta testing. You've watched the first class go through.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what you're observing as some of the takeaways, some of the things that maybe participants didn't necessarily see individually, but more as a collective group. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think one of the observations I made in seeing how this was working is really how powerful these people were in terms of their analytical abilities. You know, seeing extreme strength in analysis in all of our participants, and particularly Kelly, brought so much to bear in terms of how those companies have moved forward. But I think the interesting thing that I observed them learning is that by bringing in the imagery and metaphor and imagination into a process of creative problem solving, they were able to take the analysis, attach it to the creative process, and then come up with something even more impactful. So that it's really about exercising many disciplines. And if you think of it as right brain and left brain, it sort of makes it easy to understand, even though we have a whole brain. It's not really...
Some of us,
and all of us have a whole brain. So I think it's really important to recognize that by exercising all parts of our brain and using that whole brain together, we bring a lot more power and impact to the solutions that we can bring to the table. So that I think that a lot of companies, because of their business practices and regulations and rules that have to be followed, analysis gets a lot of focus, and you have to do it really well to even be hired by some of these companies. But if you can also add to it this other part of your brain working strongly, then you have this new power to create something new, to overcome blocks, to develop, in some ways, simpler ways to go about problem solving.
You know, I was reading through the material, and one of the things that I thought was interesting is you talk about the course is for you if you want to do the following. And one of them, and there's a number of bullets, but one that I thought was interesting, it says, create or increase your reputation as being innovative and creative. And use the word reputation.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting because you might say skills, not reputation. Why reputation?
Mm-hmm. Reputation to me is an important word in terms of our mission, because the Maine Center for Creativity is really trying to build Maine's reputation for innovation and creativity. And reputation is about doing and then building that word of mouth. So I think we're people here in Maine who don't like to boast, but we like to do it and therefore build our reputation for the quality and depth of our work. We often see it in a sculptor or a boat builder as examples where they're not out there sort of saying, I'm the best boat builder. You're looking at the result and saying, wow. And that builds a reputation. So I think building a reputation for a company is about keep doing the work that needs to be done, but show the result and the elegance of the result. I think when you think about a beautiful boat, there's an elegance in it. that reputation begins to build because you've been able to bring elegance to your solutions, not only to your current customers, but to your future customers as well. So bringing elegant solutions that innovate in the marketplace or innovate the products that you have, or even a whole industry, thinking in terms of how do we really break through here and do something innovative in this industry. Those are the things that I think build reputation, which, of course, is about growth and about new jobs as well.
Well, some of the other things it talks about is increased productivity, lead innovative teams to increase growth. Kelly, you're seeing that? You're seeing that at WEX after this program?
Well, I was seeing it at WEX before, but we need even more. We're growing very, very quickly, and we need to be innovative. And programs like this help our leaders and our employees be more innovative, for sure.
What level, and it's a question I just thought of as we're going through, what level is this course benefit? You know, is it a line manager level? Is it a senior leadership level? Is it does it matter? I'm trying to get a scope for people who are listening out there to say, well, I might have somebody, or maybe for me.
So can I just say something about that?
Sure, but so then I'll also say something.
Yeah, there may be an intention. I can tell you as a participant, it would benefit someone at any level, in my opinion, anyone. What was really beneficial about going through this program was being surrounded by other business leaders that I was working with. So I would just say that, you know, there's a real benefit to leaders going through it together.
And one of the things that I would agree that it's, of course, wonderful for any level, but one of the keys that people are usually looking for in a company is you want to support the people who are responsible for growth, because growth is where you're going to keep going, make more jobs happen, keep your own jobs. And so if you put the leaders in your community into this program first, then you get sort of a double hit there, because you've trained that person, and that person has already shown their capability of leading others. So you're really multiplying your effect by early on putting your leaders in. So when I did go out to the companies, I did ask them to identify people who could use this in a way that would help bring others along as well, because oftentimes our people who innovate and create and lead all the time need to have that nurturing as well, so they can keep improving their skills and keep adding to their skills. And that overall, if you're only going to send 4 people a year, put your leaders that you know are really effective into this program, because they're going to bring along 10 or 12 other people.
Well, since we all know that leadership starts at the top, having senior leaders buy into the program and maybe even go through the program is critical for the remainder of the organization, because they will understand it and then promote it to the lower levels, which won't happen if it starts at a lower level first, and then they don't necessarily see an immediate impact to the bottom line.
I would agree. I've had a personal impact, and I've been able to use it around the work that I'm doing. However, if it had happened at the top and we were cascading it down to the organization, the impact would be even greater, for sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's works with anything. Any program, it really has to start at the top. And if it's a small business owner here in Maine, or it's a small business owner across the country, they could look at this and say, that makes perfect sense in terms of, I have to understand it, buy into it before I actually do that. Jean, tell us a little about the Maine Center for Creativity. What exactly is the mission? We've talked a lot about the program, but give a little spiel about it.
Yeah, our mission is to create projects and programs that help develop Maine overall, economically and culturally. So we like to put together arts and industry at all times. We bring those things together. Part of our program was to bring in the Farnsworth Art Museum and the Wizard of Oz collection. So we didn't talk about that, but we added these elements into our program that was really bringing alive this idea of how arts and business together, the disciplines of those two things, can really bring more power and impact to our community. So then we applied it to the corporation community as well and said, let's do this corporate training and apply it there, and thereby build in two places, really. So projects and programs like Pechacucha, the Creative Toolbox, these are all for entrepreneurs as well as the community. We do public art projects like Art All Around, Before I Die Wall. There are all kinds of interesting things that the Lovelocks in Portland as well. We're doing interesting art projects as well as business projects. And by doing that, we're having an effect of connecting people that don't always connect and bringing each other's skills to the table so that we have more impact overall. One of our projects is the Maine Creative Industries Award, and that's a very important award to put into the state of Maine because we need to reward and recognize creativity both in our community and in the workplace. And of course, our biggest goal is to put Maine on the map for creativity and innovation, to build Maine's reputation for creativity and innovation so that we can attract the talent that we need here in Maine and also do business in other places where they'll know, oh, the talent's in Maine. That's where we have to hire people from.
Well, speaking of needing talent, speaking of an organization that's growing, WEX has been growing like crazy over the last couple of years with some great acquisitions. Kelly, tell us a little bit about what's going on over there.
So WEX is a rapidly growing global corporation based here in Portland, and we have about 1,400 employees now around the globe, and we exist to streamline and modernize payments, and we do that around the globe, and we need innovative employees to make that happen, and that's why we were happy to participate in the program.
I think this has been a great discussion about what we'd say creativity and innovation in the workplace. We've been talking with Gene McGinnis from the Maine Center of Creativity and Kelly Szymanski from WEX. If you go after this show to the HRPowerHour.com website, you will see a link that will take you to a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation about today's show. Also, we'll talk to you about what the website is that you can go to get information. And you can see their pictures of who's on the air today. And they're both laughing here with me. You're listening to the HR Power Hour from News Talk WLOB. And now the HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Northern Insurance Group. Licensed agents in 28 states, business, commercial, and personal. Go to northerninsurancegroup.com. According to an article in the May 15th, 2014 HR Daily Advisor, there is a conundrum that is happening in regards to e-cigarettes. And so your tip is, you really should start to think about them and if they should be banned or used in the workplace. So let me give you some examples of what's going on out there. Some companies, such as General Electric, Walmart, and Target, have banned use, known as vaping, in offices, stores, and other facilities. CVS Caremark has even stopped selling the products, and UPS has started charging its non-union workers who use e-cigarettes with the same rate as smokers of regular tobacco products. On the other hand, this article reports that a few companies, such as McDonald's, do allow the use of e-cigarettes in its offices and restaurants. To give this even more of a complicated twist, there are companies such as Abesco Springs Company in Tulsa, which is actually buying e-cigarettes for their employees. That's right, you heard me. The CEO has asked the employees who currently smoke if it would help in allowing them to actually not smoke if they go through the e-cigarette process. The employees said yes, and the company actually purchased e-cigarettes for them as a good gesture as part of their wellness program. So there's a lot to think about here. Start thinking about it, and that's your e-cigarette tip of the week for the HR Power Hour. Sponsored by Northern Insurance Group at northerninsurancegroup.com. Next week on the HR Power Hour, we're going to be talking about icky, sticky people problems. Fran Lefevre, who is a consultant with Letty HR in New Hampshire, will be talking about those icky, sticky people problems that we all have to deal with. That's on the next HR Power Hour. Thank you for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 1310 a.m. or streaming live on WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.